een beetje met weemoed dat ik zeg goedemorgen en hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power, want dit is de laatste uitzending van het oude jaar. En dan kijken we terug op 105 uitzendingen van 8 tot 9 en van 9 tot 10. En dat heeft u allemaal mogelijk gemaakt. We staan op de rand van de jaarwisseling 2009 over een paar dagen. En we hopen ook het volgende jaar heel veel voor u te mogen betekenen. Zo ook in het afgelopen jaar. Dat hebben we gemerkt aan de vele reacties die we kregen. Olaf Marijn de Leur vertelt daarover wat Hour of Power voor hem betekende tijdens een verschrikkelijke ziekte die hij heeft overwonnen. En in de christelijke titel Amy Grant, de bekendste gospelzangeres. Thy word is a light unto my feet. We kennen dat allemaal, dat nummer. En ze is door een moeilijke scheiding gegaan en ze vertelt daar open over in de christelijke titel. En dan een gastkoor uit Fullerton, een plaats vlakbij Anaheim waar de christelijke titel staat, in het hartje van Los Angeles in Californië. En zo hoop ik op een hele mooie uitzending, de laatste in dit jaar. En heel veel kijkgenoegen toegewenst.
Cathedral. It is a beautiful day to be able to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit of God here, and it is. And he wants to use you right now to share his love with those who are standing around you. Would you please reach out, shake the hands of those who are standing next to you and say, God loves you, and so do I. Right now, I want to take a moment and have a moment of prayer, and then we're going to sing some songs. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time where we can be in your presence and feel your spirit and exercise the gifts that you have given to us. And so in this moment, may we continue to share your love with everyone we meet, and may we leave this place blessed and touched people by you. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went right before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they'd come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they'd opened their treasures, they presented to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. May God bless the reading of this, his holy story.
Amy, thank you. You've got just a voice of silk and a heart of gold. And we thank you for being here. This isn't your first time here, though, is it?
It's not my first time. I was here for the first time when I was 17 years old. It was the summer of 1978.
So how many years ago was that?
Let's count. Let me see. That would make it 30 years ago.
So it's been a few years, but it's good to have you back. You know, I want you to come back before you're 70, if you don't mind.
Okay. I'll work on that.
And one of the reasons you're here is because you've written a book entitled Mosaic. Pieces of my life so far, and it makes me stop and think about your life. My notes say that you are the most successful contemporary Christian artist of all time. That's pretty powerful statement, isn't it? What isn't questionable is the fact that you have 6 Grammys, 21 Doves, and probably countless other awards we can't go into. But I don't think all of the awards in the world really determine what a person is.
No.
And so I'm interested in finding out, who is this person? Tell me about your life as a 16-year-old and thinking about singing and touring.
Well, I first started writing songs because I was going to a really great church in Nashville. It was kind of a hippie church, you know. It was in the back in the 70s, and I wanted so much to tell my friends about Jesus, and I thought that music was an easy way to do that. I could just write about faith in my songs, and it didn't require a response from them. And of course, I had no idea way back then that all of my heaviest years of sinning were ahead of me. And as we all find, we grow up and make our biggest mistakes as we age, and that's really some of what this book is about, is just the journey of a woman who believes in Jesus, some of the good things and some of the hard times, and really how God is faithful, and what my experience has been in that.
So you went through some tough times then.
Sure, some that I brought on myself, and some that's just life, you know.
What would you say would rank as some of the toughest things you went through, gone through, struggled with?
Well, probably because I've lived such a public life. About 10 years ago, I went through a divorce, and my husband and I at the time, my ex-husband now, we had really been a very public couple, and our marriage sort of crashed and burned. And I'm going to tell you, I was never really thinking, what's the world thinking about me? Because if you've ever been through something like that, you're just trying to survive day by day. And most of my energy just went to trying to figure out how to navigate that road with 3 young children. Mm-hmm. And answer questions like, if God can fix everything, why can't He fix what happened under our roof? And so, it sort of on the heels of a crisis of faith, I really learned an amazing lesson in forgiveness and forgiving myself. And I think that any of us who've been through a hard time know that when you've been through something tough, you have so much more compassion for other people. And so, just stories like that I tried to recap and write down. I would love to tell all of my children. I have a blended family of 5, and I birthed 4 of those and have the stretch marks to prove it. But you know, my kids aren't interested in my stories right now. But someday they'll be in their 40s or 50s, and they'll think, well, what made my mama tick? And so I thought, well, I'll just get them down now and be honest and discreet. And then someday my kids will know what made me tick.
What about your faith? How has your faith helped you tick?
Well, my faith, I assume, has been the undergirding and foundation for everything. I cannot remember a time that my parents didn't take me to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And we lived in a neighborhood with a lot of kids. you know, the rare Sunday when my mom would say, honey, your daddy's just too tired. You can, we're going to stay home tonight. We're in the middle of a kickball game. I would think, yes, there is a God. I get to stay home. But I think that as I, well, I didn't make up this phrase, but you've probably heard it before. Hurt people, and blessed people, bless people.
It's a wonderful phrase, yes.
And I think as I have come to know the love of Jesus, really know it, you know, in the wake of snot cries, you know, just really, it has helped me understand how God loves me and is teaching me to love the people in my life that way. And to me, that's all faith.
So you're married to some guy named Vince Gill, is that right?
I am.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, I'm a well-loved woman.
Yeah.
And
blending these two families is a challenge, isn't it? Or
well,
not. Maybe it's a piece of cake.
I think it was more of a challenge for Vince, because by the time he and I married, his daughter Jenny was 17. And so she was pretty much who she was, you know. My children were younger, and I'm sure they're looking at that man going, who is this fella, and you're not my dad. And I think, you know, most of us women, we want so desperately to orchestrate the perfect scenario, and I tend to be kind of stubborn and headstrong, and I had a way that I wanted Vince to be with my kids, you know, all these things I wanted him to do, and I would say, come on, you're up at bat, hit a home run. And he kept saying, Amy, they've got a dad, and in time they will find me if they want to, and what I'm going to do is love you well. And if I love you well, then you will be a good mom. And that slow, steady pace of just trying to be respectful to each other has created a very warm environment now in our home. And so the kids now are 25 down to 6. I had my last baby at 40, our little blended family love child. And anyway, so I have a lot of reasons for missing brain cells and being forgetful now, but it sure is a pleasure to be back here. And I.
Well, you're going to sing another song for us.
I am.
Tell us about that.
Okay, this is a song. I think I've only done this 2 or 3 times in the almost 30 years since I wrote it, and so that's a slight disclaimer, but this is a song about Christmas and family and Jesus.
Thank
is that
you.
Enough of an explanation?
That's definitely enough.
Okay.
Thank you.
Down on their knees. is more than an heirloom to me. My precious Jesus is more than an heirloom to me.
Amy Grant, wat een topnaam in de wereld van muziek. Gospel zingt ze, ze heeft een seculiere carrière achter de rug, waarin een van haar nummers een tophit werd, een nummer 1 hit zelfs. En nu over de dingen die werkelijk van belang voor haar zijn. En dat geldt ook voor mijn volgende gast bij Out of Power Nederland. Het is Olaf Marijn de Leur. En precies 6 jaar geleden, op de dag van gisteren, kreeg hij te horen, op 39-jarige leeftijd, dat zijn leven heel snel zou eindigen. Goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen.
Vertel nog eens dat moment dat je bij de dokter zat en hij zei, het is geen hoop meer.
Ik was 2,5 maand daarvoor, ging ik het ziekenhuis in. En op 27 december vertelde hij aan mij, wij kunnen niks meer voor u doen. En ik moet u nu overbrengen naar het VU. En hij zei niet erbij, er is helemaal geen hoop meer, maar hij kon niks meer doen. En in het VU ben ik toen, 5 jaar lang eigenlijk bezig geweest om te overleven. En hier zit ik.
Want je had kanker?
Ja, leukemie. Een bijzondere vorm van leukemie.
Hoe komt het dat je hier zit? Want zoveel mensen overleven dat niet.
Nee, dat is heel droevig van die ziekte. Ik zit hier, denk ik, omdat ik zelf een heel positieve instelling had. Maar ik heb ook gemerkt dat positiviteit alleen niet voldoende is. Want helaas heb ik ook mensen die heel positief waren zien sneuvelen. En dat geeft al meteen een hele grote vraag van, ik heb nooit me afgevraagd waarom ben ik niet ziek geworden, maar wel van, waarom heb ik het overleefd? Maar een van de dingen die me in die periode is overkomen, was het toch de goddelijke hand die ik daarin voelde. Het vertrouwen dat ik had, ondanks de zwaarte, ondanks de pijn, het verdriet en de strijd die ik moest leveren, was er elke keer toch het gevoel, ik word gedragen, letterlijk. En ja, dat noem ik goddelijkheid.
Ja. Zo'n ziekteproces brengt mee dat je die vreselijke chemokuren moet ondergaan, bestralingen, een doodziek lichaam. Had je niet op een gegeven moment dat je zei, en nu is het genoeg geweest?
Ja, dat heb ik gehad. Ik heb het inderdaad, de chemokuren, de bestralingen. Ik had er wel voor mezelf een affirmatie op losgelaten. Ik zei over de chemokuren, het is levenswater. En toen het naar binnen liep, toen heb ik letterlijk gezegd, dit gaat mij gezond maken. En de bestraling die noemde ik de zonnebankkuur. En nou ja, dat heb ik ook echt heel consequent volgehouden. De artsen gingen daar zelfs in mee, want ik denk heel erg dat het is dat je gedachten heel erg kan bepalen, hè, van wat iets met je doet. Maar inderdaad, ik heb een momentum wel gehad, dat ik dacht van nou, ik heb nu zoveel meegemaakt. En toen kwam het ook nog een keertje terug. En toen dacht ik van ja, wat is hier nou weer de boodschap van?
En dat vroeg je wel af, wat de boodschap
ja,
was achter je ziekte.
Ja, natuurlijk. De boodschap heb ik hem al heel snel afgevraagd. Ja. Dat heb ik al heel snel gevraagd. Van nou, wat is nou hier de bedoeling van?
Ben je erachter gekomen, achter die waarom-vraag?
Dat is, ja. Ik heb in die periode een boek geschreven. En de werktitel was heel lang een geschenk uit de hemel. Ik wist, iets wordt me verteld. Maar wat, dat moet je dan gaandeweg ondervinden, onderzoeken. Maar ik begreep dat het een cadeau was. Ergens in die leukemie, in dat proces, zat een diamant die ik moest ontstreepje dekken. En nou, ik heb het overleefd, dat weten we. En ik ben sinds een jaar weer gezond.
Wat heb je ontdekt?
Ja, dat ik door mag in het leven. En dat ik er iets mee moet doen.
En wat doe je ermee?
Ik doe daarmee dat ik hoop anderen te inspireren. Om vertrouwen te houden, wat iemand ook tegenkomt in zijn of haar leven. Dat is ook altijd waar de diensten over gaan van dominee Schuller. Hè? Altijd het vertrouwen houden. Altijd doorgaan, ook al is het zo moeilijk. En vooral ook, wat je energie geeft, dat groeit. Als je energie geeft aan het positieve in je leven. Er is altijd iets positiefs. Als je daar de kracht legt, als je daar de focus op legt, dan gaat dat vanzelf groeien.
Dus je doet het uit jezelf?
Ja. Ja, uit mezelf. Ik heb er hulp bij. En dat is ook wat ik telkens voel. Hè. We zitten nu bijvoorbeeld ook in de periode. Hè, kerst. Het kindje is nu 3 dagen geboren. En ik maak daar wel eens het vergelijk van. Dat kindje, dat verlicht de wereld. Nog steeds 2008 jaar later. Verlicht dat kindje nog steeds de wereld. En we zijn hem Jezus gaan noemen. En hij is als Christus gestorven. En dat is het vonkje wat ik ook telkens in mezelf heb teruggevonden. Of hervonden. Ondanks alle pijn. Ondanks alle verdriet. En dat maakt het draagbaar. Dat heeft het draagbaar gemaakt voor mij. Ik heb ook gemerkt. God kan door mij werken. God kan door ons werken. Maar nooit voor ons. En wij moeten het zelf doen. Maar hij kan door ons werken.
Heb je steun uit het lezen ook in zo'n tijd wanneer je erg ziek bent, ook nu van de Bijbel?
Ja, zeker. Ik lees de Bijbel en ik heb voor mezelf een grote voorkeur. Dat heeft te maken met wat onkunde, denk ik, voor het Nieuwe Testament. En ik put heel veel uit Jezus. En daar zijn ook weer heel veel boeken over geschreven. Hè? Over de leraar, de zoon van God, Jezus. En ja, daar lees ik heel veel over. Daar ben ik ook heel veel mee bezig. Het is voor mij uiteindelijk liefde. En dat kun je doen in heel kleine dingen. Dat kan in het groot, dat kan in het klein. Maar je kunt het leven. En dat is, denk ik, mijn opdracht.
Je bent een multitalent, want je coacht mensen om richting en doel in hun leven te vinden. Je bent auteur en je bent ook acteur.
Ja, ik heb een mama show geschreven.
Ja?
Ik heb een mama show geschreven.
Ja?
Het boek was De Beweging naar
op
Binnen.
Op eigen kracht, hè?
Op eigen kracht. Een mama show op eigen kracht. Heb ik de première halverwege dit jaar heeft die plaatsgevonden. En wie weet dat ik daarmee doorga. Dat zou heel goed kunnen.
Nou ben ik razend benieuwd naar jouw one-man show die je hebt opgevoerd in Baren. En getiteld op eigen kracht. En zou je daar een stukje uit willen laten horen? Je kunt er blijven zitten, je kunt erbij gaan staan.
Ik wil dan eigenlijk maar de belangrijkste boodschap pakken uit mijn one-man show op eigen kracht. En ik roep dan op iedereen in mijn publiek, inclusief mijzelf, alles wat wij doen, alles wat we zeggen, alles wat wij fluisteren en alles wat we wensen, alles wat we bedenken en alles wat we menen, te doen. Uit die ene kracht, de allergrootste kracht die in het universum is. De allergrootste kracht in jou en mij. Om alles te doen vanuit liefde. Dank u wel.
Prachtig. Een prachtig stuk, bedankt Oliver. Je bent een talent. En geweldig dat je gespaard bent gebleven om anderen te vertellen. Je krijgt van mij een boek dat heet Ontdek Gods richting in je leven. En ik ga er een bijbeltekst voor je inzetten.
Dank je.
Al zo lief heeft God de wereld dat hij zijn enige geboren zoon gegeven heeft. Opdat een ieder die in hem gelooft niet verloren gaat, maar eeuwig leven hebben. Dat is liefde,
mooi.
Ultima forma. Alsjeblieft.
Dank je wel.
En het nieuwe jaar is over een paar dagen breekt dat aan. Een kalender Hart voor Kinderen, onze actie voor kinderen in Afrika die dringend de pleegmoeder nodig hebben om in de keuken te hangen.
Dank je wel.
En deze op een andere plaats.
Hartelijk dank.
Ik vond het heel leuk dat je er was. Wij gaan zo meteen kijken naar het koor uit Fullerton. Dat is een koor dat op korte afstand van de Crystal Cathedral woont. Maar eerst hebben we nog een vraag aan u.
Voor vele duizenden kijkers is Hour of Power een wekelijks moment van rust inspiratie en bemoediging. Voelt u zich thuis bij Hour of Power? Vindt u het belangrijk dat Hour of Power Gods liefde verkondigt? En wilt u dat Hour of Power iedere week op televisie te zien blijft? Zou u dan ook donateur willen worden? Wij verwelkomen u graag in onze kring. Al met een klein bedrag per maand levert u een structurele bijdrage aan onze missie. Hour of Power is volledig afhankelijk van donateurs, dus uw steun is hard nodig. Als welkomstgeschenk sturen wij u dit boek, Ontdek Gods richting voor uw leven. Dit is het nieuwste boek van dominee Robert Anthony Schuller. Hierin beschrijft hij hoe wij onze persoonlijke roeping kunnen vinden en verwezenlijken. Donateur worden kan via www.hourofpower.nl of vraag informatie aan via 035 538 0588. Alvast hartelijk dank.
Now it is my privilege to welcome the Fullerton College Concert Choir under the direction of John Tabay as they sing a wonderful arrangement which was actually done by one of their own students. It's entitled Good Christians All Rejoice. wonderful music. We appreciate you very, very much for coming and sharing your music with us. Thank you, John, for your direction, your leadership, and we just appreciate you very, very much for what you've done. How many people stop and think about how the New Testament opens? I don't think too many people actually read the beginning of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, which tell us about Jesus Christ. The funniest thing about it is that it opens up with a genealogy of all things. And that's the way the New Testament opens. You know, an opening book or a gospel or something is supposed to open up with a wow, you know? I was always taught you want to open big and end big. People remember the beginning and they remember the end. You ever heard that before? Yeah, so concerts try to do that. Anything that's going to try to entertain people, that's what they do. They try to open up with a great big opening and a great big ending. The Gospels failed to get that lesson. It opens up with this genealogy. And so-and-so begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so. And you almost fall asleep before you get to the good part. And then you get to the good part, which is very fascinating. The very first verse where we start hearing about the birth of Jesus Christ, we hear a new entity coming into to theological circles that we're not familiar with. The angel talks about a Holy Spirit. The very first verse talks about a Holy Spirit. Interesting thought, this Holy Spirit thing. And the Holy Spirit is something that comes and really wrestles with emotion, creation, a new life, a new birth. In this particular case, it is the Holy Spirit that gives birth to Jesus Christ in Mary. And the next time we read about the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ is being baptized. And immediately following his baptism, it says, the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Now we hear about the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit is referred to by Christ as he talks about the Comforter who will come and bring comfort and peace into our lives. And then it is the book of Acts is where the Holy Spirit really comes into play. We see its power being displayed as it is ingested into the minds and the hearts and the lips of all Christ's apostles. For on Pentecost Day, these apostles received this gift to be able to speak in a foreign language. And they did. They went out in the streets of Jerusalem against the threat of death. They had witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And they knew that their lives were in jeopardy. In fact, almost every single one of them, with the exception of one, lost their lives. But it was the Holy Spirit of God that gave them the conviction, the power, and the ability to go out and to communicate the message of Jesus Christ in a way that people heard. And they called it the gift of tongues. And they spoke in these weird languages, many of which today do no longer exist. But people heard the message. And what was the message they heard? Let's go back to where I started from. The birth of Jesus Christ, the angel comes and says, Mary is conceived by the Holy Spirit. And you will name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And that was the message that the apostles of Jesus Christ gave to the world, and literally it spread around the world, never to be extinguished again. Because the Holy Spirit was there, the Holy Spirit filled their hearts and their minds with the reality of what was taking place. And the world was changed. It was changed because their sins were revealed. Their sins were repented. And their sins were forgiven. And today, when we look at the birth of Jesus Christ, we see that His name will be called Jesus because He will forgive them their sins. That reality and that truth continues to this day. Yet we fail to always hear the message. We always want to trip back into the sins that keep us from experiencing the fullness of God's love for us. And today I want you to remember the birth of Jesus Christ, conceived of the Holy Spirit of God, who wants to come and relieve us of our sins, because our sins make us slaves. They make us slaves. And when we can be freed from our sins, we are freed from the slavery of sin, and we are freed to experience the joy and the goodness of not only Christmas, but of our entire lives and our entire year. I don't think this church has ever heard it said better than when they heard it said from Evel Knievel. It was 8 months ago, April 1st, Palm Sunday. Evel Knievel stood right where I'm standing right now. And he shared with us some words. Listen to what he said.
I know that there's more to life than what I've had. I wrote a book called Evil Ways. I said I've had a life better than any king, any president, or any prince. Hogwash. I didn't have Jesus Christ in my life. I was talking about the Rolls Royces I had, five of them. The Ferraris I've had, five of them. The Stetsons, the Lamborghinis, the jet airplanes, two of them. I flew one alongside of the other so I could read my name on the side of it. Yeah. Evel Knievel. My dad said, who are you going to impress? At 40,000 feet, at 600 miles an hour. Why don't you go down and buy a truck, drive along the freeway? The diamonds and the gold and the racehorses and the women and the booze, I want to tell you something. I've been a sinner. You're looking at a real sinner, but not anymore. You're not looking at a sinner anymore. And I've had everybody. You've got to believe. Oh, you've got to believe in Jesus Christ. It'll give you, I don't know how many of you here have felt what I have felt. Let me see a raise of hands of how many of you have had the feeling that I am telling you that I feel. Oh, God bless you. Isn't it a wonderful feeling? Isn't it a wonderful feeling to say I have a God that I can believe in?
Most of you know that Evel Knievel passed away. What you don't know is that Evel met one of our employees here, a guy by the name of Kyle Stevens. He's one of the people who helps us book all of our guests and make sure that all of the arrangements are made and their hotels and other accommodations are taken care of. And so he helped Evel with his accommodations here, and Evel got to know Kyle a little bit, just enough to know that he was somebody he could call. And from April 1st until just a couple days ago, he would call Kyle almost every day. He'd call Kyle and he would ask him a question. He'd have some kind of a Bible question that he couldn't answer. And they were simple things, the kind of things that we learn in Sunday school. But he knew one place where he could go and find the answer. He called Kyle, and he'd ask Kyle, so how many disciples were there? Who is this guy named Paul? And simple questions like that. And he's done that now for the last 8 months. Today we know that evil was able to feel the void in his heart that he had felt from the time he was born. And it wasn't filled with his Ferraris or his Lamborghinis or his jet airplanes. There was only one thing that could fill that hole in his heart. And it was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ comes. And he forgives our sins. When Moses led the people out of Israel, he led them from an area called Goshen. Goshen was actually on the east end of Egypt. If you could imagine this little area, just if you can picture the Mediterranean Sea, it makes this kind of a sideways U shape or a backwards C shape. Israel is at the far end of the sea. And in the bottom corner is where Goshen was. So it's only probably a 2 or 3 day walk at most to get to Jerusalem. Moses could have easily, when he left Egypt, he could have taken the people of Israel from Egypt to Jerusalem in a matter of 3 or 4 days. How long did it take for the Israelites to get from Cairo to Jerusalem? 40 years. What's the matter with that guy anyway? Has he got lousy directions? Couldn't he figure out that all you have to do is follow the Mediterranean? It'll take you right there. How could you possibly ever get that lost where you're lost for 40 years? He never got lost. He made a right turn instead of a left turn. He went down into the Sinai, and he went down into the Sinai for a reason. And the people of Israel had to stay in the desert and in the wilderness for 40 years for a very good reason. The reason is they all believed that they were slaves. They were all raised as slaves. And they were convinced that they weren't any value at all except to be slaves. And not until you can get out of a slave mentality can you ever be brought to the promised land that God has for you. And we wonder why we're stuck in the rut of sin and slavery. Why we're in the wilderness. And the reason is we haven't filled the hole with the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. When we read the birth of Jesus Christ, we realize that it starts with the Holy Spirit. Continues with, he shall save his people from their sins. And it concludes with the fact that he shall be called Emmanuel. Because God will be with us no matter what journeys and pathways we take. God will be there with us, and there is nothing or nowhere, anything you can do that God won't be with you, carrying you through and helping you through. And so this morning I'm inviting people to realize that God is in this place. That Jesus Christ is real today. That he was born 2,000 years ago. But that was just his physical birth. He has continued to use the Holy Spirit to birth Jesus Christ into the hearts and minds of people who will listen to him and let go of the sin that enslaves them. And walk to the promised land and accept the blessings that God has for you today. That's walking in your own shoes. Because being a success isn't a matter of having a certain amount of wealth. It isn't a matter of having a certain amount of plaques on the wall. It's not a matter of trappings that we see in society that society wants us to experience. Success is finding freedom in Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is here, that you're touching lives with the reality of your goodness, that as the Holy Spirit gave the life of Jesus Christ to Mary, so the Holy Spirit himself gives the life of Jesus Christ to every single person here today. So we open our hearts to you, that you will fill our lives with your presence and your goodness. And so we love you, Lord, for freeing us from the slavery and the thinking that has trapped us in the wilderness today. And so lead us to that promised land. In faith, we pray. Amen. So allow that Spirit to penetrate every fiber of our being and guide us and lead us to the people you want us to talk to this week. Amen.
En met deze toepasselijke preek voor de overgang van het oud naar het nieuwe sluiten we af. Jezus kan ook in jouw leven geboren worden en dan is er nieuw leven. En dat wensen wij iedereen toe bij deze laatste uitzending in het oude jaar van Hour of Power. Volgend jaar hebben we een heel bijzondere eerste uitzending. De Hollandse Zondag in de Crystal Cathedral. Honderden Nederlanders gingen een paar weken geleden naar de Crystal Cathedral om dominee Schuller te ontmoeten, om samen de dienst mee te maken en nog veel meer. En dat laten we graag ook zien. Iedereen, heel hartelijk bedankt voor uw trouw, uw steun aan Hour of Power. We worden altijd erg bemoedigd door alle reacties die we krijgen en dat vinden we geweldig. En dat, want er staat een grote groep van vrijwilligers om Hour of Power heen, drijft ons om te doen wat we doen. En dat doen we met grote vreugde en met heel ons hart en onze inzet. En ik wil iedereen bedanken die het afgelopen jaar heeft meegewerkt om alles mogelijk te maken wat we hebben gedaan. Zoals de kerstconcerten en heel veel andere activiteiten. Graag tot volgende week.
Thank you.